Hello and welcome back to The Break Room, a Superstore fan podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand, and I have our co-host, Aylin Rowland.
Hello.
And Casey McGeorge.
How's it going, everybody?
It's going good.
Good.
Not many of these left, so just trying to soak them all in, yeah?
It's going to be bittersweet.
We are talking about episode 105 of the show Total, episode 7 of season 6, The Trough. That was directed by Kim Nguyen, and Renee Goob is the writer for that. It aired January 28th, 2021.
Alrighty, Mateo, Sandra, and Glenn help Jonah move on from Amy. Cheyenne shadows Carol, and Dina gets help from Garrett in looking for the store's secret location. Your initial thoughts?
I enjoyed this one. I thought this one was a step up from the last 2 weeks. Actually, it's up there for me. It's probably one of the best ones since Amy left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely agree. And the thing, I mean, well, we have a lot to get into, but I realized, too, that this week I liked the episode a lot, and it's also because I liked every single plot line with, you know, outside of the main one with Jonah, I liked every single one of them, which doesn't always happen. So it was a really good episode.
I thought it was decent. It had some ups and downs, but I can definitely see why people would say it was one of the better ones of the season. We'll start with Garrett and Dina looking for the trough. Our McFox pairing here. So I'm a little disappointed in Dina. Not for what people might think, but simply because just when it looked like she might actually be, and this maybe goes along with another story, but right when it seems like she might be turning a corner, and we talked about this last week's episode, where she might be kind of growing a little bit and understanding people more, she kind of goes back to the old Dina a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I could see what you mean there with that. I also thought it was a little absurd that she did not know how to work her phone, pretty much.
Yeah, but
and kept saying, I hack my home screen now, yeah. You know?
Yeah, but do you remember with Amy that one time, though, when she was texting her all day or something, and she was, like, blown away by, I don't know, just, like, the technology on her phone?
Yeah, so this thing is fairly consistent with that.
Yeah.
And honestly, Dina looks like the kind of person to me who would just be happy with a simple flip phone.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, yeah, I think an iPhone might confound her.
Yeah.
So, how is it? They end up finding, because they have to go onto the employee app and look at the employee messages with the slimy guy from Zephyr Corporate there.
In the beginning.
Not liking that guy.
Dina sure did. She was so excited to talk to him.
but the guy just seemed kind of slimy, where Glenn obviously had the issue of going on there because he's like, well, first we're spying on. It goes more with the other storyline, but he's like, well, first we're spying on the employees in the messaging app. Now we're just spying on the employees in general. And he just kind of laughs. He's like, your words, not mine.
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, I gotta go, bye.
To be honest, it was typical corporate with the you said it, not me, you know, but yeah, that's what they're getting at.
Right.
So yeah, because Garrett is the only person, I guess, the technology savvy she knows, like Jordan said here, she needs Garrett to hack her information into the app. I guess she can't even really work her phone enough because she ends up going back to the home screen.
It's like as soon as he gives it back to her.
And now, in all fairness, maybe because what was it, the last couple of years, if it's an out, like iPhones and a lot of other ones have gotten rid of the home screen button.
Yeah, they have.
Which is so weird. So maybe she was used to, maybe she was just starting to get used to the aspect of like hitting the button to go back to home screen. And now, like, if you flick up from the bottom, maybe she's not used to that. And I can see that being a little daunting for her.
I just loved that she thought that FML meant family medical leave. Remember? She was like...
Yeah, with the... Yeah.
With the slang. And
How did Garrett describe that slang? Like, that he doesn't like... That they just don't like working
the freezer said, or whatever? He just doesn't like his job. Or something like that.
And then eventually they find out about the trough because there's a... They get a picture full barrel on.
Yeah. And it was somebody and Sarah, I think, right, who were going to meet up to have a little rendezvous in the trough.
Yeah. I forget who it was, what they named him. I think that may have been one of the first times we referenced that guy. I'm not certain on that.
Taylor, maybe. Yeah.
It sounds right. That sounds right.
Look, I'm all for two consenting adults doing whatever it is that they want to do.
In the store.
Live your life. If you want to do it at the store or wherever, that's fine, whatever. Do what you can afford. But to use the employee messaging app to set up a hookup.
Yeah, and then that's funny.
To use an employee messaging app to send pictures of your naughty bits to your potential hookup.
Yeah.
Just, wow, just text each other, man. Snapchat each other. Do something. Don't use the employee messaging app. Jeez.
And Garrett's, like, face. When she's like, yeah, look. And he's like, whoa, that angle is like, whoa. I really liked Garrett a lot in this episode.
You know what, though? You'd be surprised what people say on some of those apps. Not like we don't have like an employee app at work, but, you know, we have like messaging systems that you're. Management team can read and stuff once you're usually they don't read it until you actually like leave the job.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, some of the stuff that people have said in those things are it's like, why would you be saying that at work right now?
But like they know that someone could potentially be listening to it, right? Or no?
Oh yeah, they're told that they you know that these are monitored by IT and management. Yeah. And they'll still like slag management off on it and stuff like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Or say, you know, risque things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Garrett and Dina's little story this week was good. You know, I like the, you know, I have to say, though, for a second, when they mentioned the little spot, because I think Dina is the one, right, who says, well, we didn't have this when we were hooking up in the store or something. And I thought for a second they were talking about that area that, you know, Jonah and Amy found, remember, was all the discarded toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if your mind went there, too, but.
That's where a lot of people were thinking, but it looked like it was Marcus's old place. Is that right?
Right.
That's, yeah. We will get to that in a second. So I'm guessing the photo lab is no longer open. In all fairness, I guess not many people may be taking photos anymore. So maybe it's just a sign of the times that they got rid of said photo lab.
Yeah. And, you know, no one was ever going to. It was never going to be the same after the samosa banging. But anyway.
So they attempt to, they're talking to each other in the break room and they're trying to, you know, see various things. So they pick on Justine and decide to send Justine a secret love note to get her to meet up at the trough at like 2 o'clock. So now Justine thinks she has a boyfriend.
Oh, yes.
And it's, the note is just completely left anonymous.
And I love this because they you knew Justine would be the one to fall for this. So I really I really did enjoy that. And I liked when she was also just, you know, showing it off to everybody. Like, I'm not going to be available, you know.
And everybody's just looking at her like, girl, shut up. Like, we're so tired. Basically, they're just looking at her like, we're so tired of hearing you.
Her attention. Yeah, seeking. And she took it to just, like, another level later on. You know, calling him her boyfriend. She even knew who he was. I just, yeah. Oh, poor Justine.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question here. Maybe it's just me. When Justine was talking with Marcus, right, and they're both talking about secrets because they both have their own little secret going on there, that's not what either of them is thinking. A, did anybody see any chemistry and sexual tension there? And B, does anybody kind of wish Justine and Marcus would hook up?
Aren't they cousins?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a thing where...
I think that was last year. I think that was established. Wasn't it those two?
That they had done something at one point, right? Because they're like,
I was going to say, this is...
Yes, they did.
The Midwest / the South, like, that's tolerated in some places. Our fans in Missouri, don't hate me. I'm a snobby Northeasterner, even though I live out in California, so, yeah. That happens in some places. So the fact that they're cousins doesn't really mean much. There's even a phrase, I think, married with children. The great Al Bundy once said, nothing says loving like marrying your cousin.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
I forgot about that, though.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, you know so-and-so? Yeah, like, he's my cousin, and she said it too. And they were like, oh, maybe we should stop doing stuff.
So hold on, somebody just put this on the Reddit 13 hours ago saying Marcus and Justine, and said, like, I thought they'd be a good couple, but now it's been deleted, like, where their comments delete it and it right, and the responses below, there's just two. One says they're cousins, and then the second one says, this makes me think of Community. Now that's a man who knows how to marry his cousin. So you're not the only one, Casey, that forgot about that and also thought they had good chemistry. But
I didn't pick up on that, but I could see you. I could see that now that you said it.
And I look. I did not write or comment on said subreddit.
that I wasn't you.
If I did, no, that was not me. But that happened was Vicky and. Someone else, Gareth, I think was his name in Community.
I forget who it was.
They were actually, like, there was an episode where they were at a wedding.
Oh, and yes.
They found out. Yes. They found out that they were
cousins.
Very distant. What, wasn't it distant cousins or were they first cousins?
I can't remember. I just remember, like, they both were talking about, like, an aunt or grandmother or something. And they had
her stand up. She was there.
Oh, no, it wasn't them. It was people from the study group that was talking about it. Eventually, that's when they found out. And I think they did end up staying together or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's distant. I don't know. It's still back in the gene pool somewhere. I mean, that's even that's a running joke in a lot of small, especially like small towns. I've definitely heard people say that around here.
And that's how a lot of monarchies back in the day used to have to stay.
Yeah.
Monarchies, because
you know, like,
they had to have
King of France or
royal blood.
Exactly. Yeah. King of France could be related to the, you know, Queen of Hungary, and they get married, and it also strengthens the
bloodline.
The bloodline and strengthens the empire, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't strengthening the bloodline. It was doing the exact opposite, but that's beside the point. Right. They didn't have good science back then. They didn't know.
No.
So 2 o'clock comes, and Justine is going to the trough, and Dina and Garrett catch her in the act. She's upset and crying because now what's she going to tell her mom?
She was probably already planning her wedding, you know.
Like, yeah, yeah, you know, we know how Justine is, you know, yeah. with this. Yeah. She can't keep anything a secret, really. And the fact mm-hmm. that she kept the trough a secret for that long is yeah. kind of amazing to begin with. Because mm-hmm. I feel like she'd be somebody that'd be making up that she's been with people there before.
Right, yeah.
In all fairness, I'm surprised there isn't like a sign-up sheet somewhere just so that people know, like, I have the trough booked from like 2 to 3 and someone else yeah. has it from like, or 2 to 2:30. Someone else has it from 2:30 to 3 and so on right. and so forth. Or maybe that's what the employee app was for. Maybe there was a sign-up sheet in the employee app. So they go in there, and it's kind of like the cheesiest romance thing. There's lights, and eventually they find that there's some
neon lights,
quote unquote, sexy music in there. So back to what you said earlier, maybe this was where Marcus was sleeping. And the simple fact that people are hooking up in there on a regular basis, I would love for like Dateline to go in there with a black light and just
God,
just to see the amount oh. of bodily fluids all over that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it definitely looks like the same room that Marcus was in. So I feel like if it's not supposed to be, then that's what they, redressed they as just a
repurposed
set.
It.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know if you want any black lights in that, in that room. Is it now only for hooking up, or were other people doing other things in there, or was it strictly for this
well
purpose?
I don't know. Probably
considering nobody in that store works. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
I feel like I'd put up my PS5 in there or something, and you know, like one of those demo ones, put it back there and just be like, all right, I'll be back there.
He was like, what, there's a secret place in the store that people are like hanging out in. But they're doing a whole lot more than hanging out, you know.
I don't know. I think maybe it's just a hookup place.
It's like the new photo lab, like you said.
Yeah, the new bang room, as mm-hmm. it was called at one point. And then we get a close to a McFox reunion here.
Almost kiss.
Close. Oh, yeah. So close. They both wanted it.
Yeah, and I think Garrett, I'm pretty sure he was the one who looked at her first. And
I really enjoyed this part of the episode because, you know, this is something that I've been kind of waiting for since, I mean, how long ago was it with the birds? Was that last season? It feels longer than that. Was it 2 years ago?
I think it was the season before.
Yeah, I think it was like the end of season 4 because it was in the Valentine's Day episode around that one. So
okay,
yeah,
she burned his shoes and everything.
Lovebirds, yeah, so is that the episode it was? Lovebirds,
yeah, so it's like the end of season 4, I think.
Yes, yeah, it was season 4, episode 13.
Mm-hmm. That's been a while,
yeah, and it's kind of been building, I guess, back to it. I feel like we had Garrett earlier in the season kind of second guessing if he's, you know, ever been in love and stuff like mm-hmm. that I kind of felt like it was building to this. And to be honest, they just haven't done enough with Dina and her current boyfriend, the veterinarian, right. that I felt like this is a good way to go forward. And I'm assuming this is what they were going to be trying to use as the Amy Jonah type of relationship to take that spot since she left. Because remember, I think this one was still written before we knew it was canceled, because they were filming this before we knew it was canceled.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because this was the Kelly episode.
Yes, and we knew about that very early on
in
the season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like that's maybe the route they were going to go, and I think now we'll just continue seeing that. And I hope that this is, you know, I'm not much of a shipper for much things, but I do like Dina and Garrett together. I think they're such an odd couple. How they match up together, I really enjoy them.
Well, Dina, just in general, the idea of her in a relationship is fascinating to me. You know what I mean? I think that's a big part of it, too. And then on top of it, I do like their weird personalities together. But, you know, just the idea of Dina being in, like, a happy relationship is, like, what is she like, you know? And actually, before we move on from this, remember, I loved what she said to Garrett later on, too, right after the, like, almost kiss. Remember when she's like, it was just a couple of, horn dogs, like, about to, like, bark up a familiar tree or something like that.
Yeah, it was something. That was funny. Something like that.
Yeah. Because she's like, I'm with Brian.
And Garrett loves Brian, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question. A, do you think she would tell Brian about the almost kiss?
No, I don't think so.
Well, interesting.
And B, would you tell Brian about the almost kiss?
I don't know, Jordan.
Would I, like, if I saw Dina almost kiss him, would I tell him? Or you mean if I was like Dina?
If you were Dina, yeah.
If you almost kissed
Garrett, would you tell your...
It depends on how strong the relationship is, I feel like, and how committed you are to him. I think that if it is a relationship that you're committed to, that you would tell them, or you'd be honest with them, at least, that, you know, because it could come up. You know, these people in the store talk like crazy. Yeah. So if Garrett says something to Jonah or somebody about how this almost happened, and then that person runs and tells somebody else or overhears it, then the next time he comes into the store, somebody's going to let it slip. We've kind of seen that plot played out before.
Once he gets to Cheyenne or Mateo,
yeah. And Justine, any of those little, Saeed even, any of those little side characters, they all love to talk. So, I don't know. It didn't actually happen. I know it was like, is really close to happening, but I don't know. Kind of.
I may be in the wrong here, but I say I'm kind of along your lines, Aylin. If it happened,
that's different. That's one thing. Yeah, yeah.
But I think no good can come of saying something that almost happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there are people out there who might agree, and there might be quite a few who would disagree with that. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. But, I think nothing good can happen of saying something, of telling someone about something that almost happened.
Speaking of Brian, go ahead, yes. Finish.
I was going to say, just because I don't know if that person would ever be able to trust you from that point forward.
Yeah. Have you guys seen next week's promo?
I have.
Oh, okay.
I have not. I think when I was tagged in, and I hadn't watched the episode yet or something, so I did not watch it.
Well, just, yeah. Okay. Oh, just because, you know, you were asking about Brian, so I don't know if you saw the promo. That's because he's back. It's not really, that's not like some big spoilery thing, really, but he is in the episode next week.
So any thoughts on our McFox adventure here?
I think that's about it.
Yeah, I don't have any. It'll be
interesting to see what else comes for the rest of the season with it.
I think before the show ends, those two are going to end up together.
I think it'll be kind of like the beginning of their like official dating. You know what I mean? I don't think with them we're going to get this like big declaration of love, because that's just not either of their style. But I think it could be Garrett, you know, for sure, being the one who finally cracks and says, like, you know, I like you, let's like try this again, maybe, you know.
And I don't know, with him and the whole not sure if he's been in love thing, and him realizing maybe he made some mistakes in the past, and kind of hinting at Dina there, I think maybe he will come out with that.
That he loves her?
Yeah.
I mean, but did they even, like, date for that long? Because it felt more like they were just, like, friends with benefits.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes one person catches feelings, and
yeah,
it's kind of hard not to. I mean, it can work. I mean, that can work. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it's difficult if one person catches feelings. There's not much you can do about that. So
yeah. Well, so yeah, to be continued on the Mick Fox situation.
All right. On next, we have Carol and Cheyenne. As we talked about earlier, Dina and Garrett, or I'm sorry, Dina and Glenn, are officially co-managers, which I hate, but whatever. And they have a call with somebody from corporate who's pretty much a sleazeball to talk about Carol's pending lawsuit. And they bring up, you know, some good points, and whether you like it or not, these are very valid points that they would bring up from their lawyer. You know, hey, if we can prove that, you know, she's going to say basically she was forced into trying to fix Glenn the robot, and that's why she was shocked and electrocuted. Their stance is no, she wasn't forced, but also she just wasn't safe. They can prove she was unsafe, if they can prove she has a track record of being unsafe, it will make their job a lot easier. May not agree with that, but that's pretty much how it is. No matter what job you're in, there's a lawyer somewhere where if you do something, when they investigate, that lawyer's job is to find the smallest thing to save that company the money to make sure they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, to be honest, I had completely forgotten that Carol got electrocuted for some reason. Until, you know, the last week's episode when it ended with her lawsuit. And I was like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Like, during my early days at Walmart, the first store I was at did not have the people who go out and collect carts, bring them back into the store. We just used to have to send, like, cashiers and some of our stock people out there to do it. And I always used to, we had a reflective vest I had to wear in the evening. And I used to always make them wear it. And I had a discussion with one of the managers because they were like, they don't really need that. I'm like, no, they actually do. And I explained to them, like, I guarantee you there's a lawyer somewhere who if somehow they get hit out there in that parking lot and they don't have this vest on, you know, that's going to be their way of saying, well, you know, could have been avoided if they worn the vest, and then they can try and pin it on, you know, one of us. Oh, you just overthink things. Okay, say that now. I'm saving you because you're the one in charge right now, so.
Right. I mean, kind of only makes sense.
So, Glenn has some issues with the sleaziness, which I get, of spying on the employees. Dina gets Cheyenne to follow around Carol. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where I think Dina kind of took a step back. You know, Cheyenne brings up to her, hey, since I've been promoted, I haven't gotten a pay raise yet. The paperwork's with corporate. We just got to wait on that. You know, and obviously you can tell Cheyenne kind of needs the money. She's trying to basically say it. And Dina just keeps shutting her down. That's a horrible look on Dina right there.
Yeah. Which was funny because then she turned it around on Cheyenne and was like, this is not good. Look on you, Cheyenne.
Again, this is the stuff that just annoys me about Dina, usually, as I talked about last week and, you know, the past few weeks and stuff. But, you know, Cheyenne has a kid. She's got an aspiring rapper at home. She's got,
that's true.
You know, she got this promotion.
She has a bow.
She's got a buy every week.
Right. She's got this promotion and... It's like no urgency from Dina or corporate, whoever it's actually in the hands of. I don't know who to believe.
I wouldn't doubt that it's at corporate, but I think, and I learned this during my early days in Army and then had experienced a lot at Walmart. When things like that are important to the people that work for you, it has to be important to you. Two of the most important things for someone are their time and their money. You don't waste their time, and you don't mess with their money. And those always hold true to me today whenever I'm in charge of something. You don't waste somebody's time and you don't mess with their money. And if you can fulfill those two obligations, you're probably not that bad of a boss. And Dina just kind of violates both of them.
And, you know, you would want to keep Cheyenne happy in the sense of you just got her in floor supervisor, right? If she doesn't get the money, she could go elsewhere. She's already worked at Target before when she was part-time there, you know? So, like, she could look elsewhere. She could get that position somewhere else. You could lose her, and then you have to replace the floor supervisor. And who you put then? Jonah? You already didn't want Jonah there. Yeah. You know, who are you putting there now?
I think maybe during normal times, yes. But during the current times we live in, where a lot of places have been laying people off and downsizing, while some retail places have been trying to get more people in, I don't think that's that much of a concern.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like retail, I still see every retail area in my area just constantly having for hire signs outside.
Yeah, same. But, I mean, I wasn't completely surprised by the fact that she's not gotten a pay raise, whether it's mostly because of paperwork with corporate and or Dina just being kind of a jerk about it. I mean, it's corporate. It's well instilled in us that nothing good ever gets done in a timely manner regarding their their employees. So.
Can we talk about how horrible of a mother Cheyenne is?
Oh, you know, are you talking about what she said about her Harmonica and babysitter?
Well, first there's the fact that she named her child Harmonica, but we can let that slide, but it is what it is. And then the fact that she's like, yeah, I have to zip my child up
in the trampoline,
leave her some snacks in there.
Yeah.
Really?
I actually missed that line the first time I watched it. Yeah. And then I rewatched it last night and I caught that joke and I was like, God, how did I miss that? And just the visual of it, like her putting a kid in a little trampoline and throwing snacks at her. It's funny.
And that means her Harmonica, she had her at the end of season one. So she's what, like four?
About four or five.
Probably.
Yeah. Coming close to five now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we get Child Protective Services out there to take care of this?
I mean, you would think that Beau would just be the type to like take her everywhere he goes when he's trying to do his rapping.
I can't imagine he's working very much.
No.
I could be wrong.
We need to see her at some point. I'm surprised we haven't seen her again since her wedding.
Well, I guess she would be cast in the spinoff if they ever do that.
Right.
But yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes spinoffs have a tendency to rewrite history. Maybe there is no Harmonica.
I feel like that was more true in the past than nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the ability now where people are a little bit more focused on continuity and the fact that all these episodes would be available. Like in the past, you would even have sometimes people show up on like, let's say like Magnum PI, right? As two different characters over the course of like 5 years, right? And it's because they just really liked them in the last time they were on. And they're like, oh, let's just put them in this role too. But nobody would really know because the only time you'd be able to see it again is if the repeat eventually came on or if there was syndication. Like there wasn't streaming and DVDs that now anybody can watch these episodes as soon as they air now. So I would like to think that, you know, it would be, I mean, they even went so far in Frasier to retcon stuff that he actually said in Cheers and explain it away in Frasier. So I do think we're kind of in a different era now with that, but you never know. You know, they could just totally change it.
It happened in SVU. One of the assistant DAs was actually a different character. The same actress played a different character in one of the early seasons. In one of the cases they investigated about a guy who was a stripper, a male stripper, and was taken advantage of by his female clients. And then eventually she was recast as one of the DAs, and there was some attention online for that. Like,
yeah. So I don't know, but Harmonica is a mystery, I guess, to us still.
Cheyenne is still a bad mom.
Yeah,
just gonna put that out there.
But I liked what they did with her and Carol, though. I mean, it took a little turn of events. She's like trying to find things to write down about her, and you know, then Carol like put on that safety belt.
Oh, gotta put like, my vest on or yeah, my belt on
to pick up the boxes, and yeah, there were just a lot of funny, odd moments. Carol is so weird, man. Like, so weird. And I loved it too in the beginning.
She's good though.
She's good, but and Irene White is amazing as Carol. I've talked to her.
She gave Cheyenne this whole false sense of security, and then just flips it at the end, and it was so brilliant. And it just makes you hate Carol, you know, because she's like this thorn that won't go away from the lives of Sandra and Cheyenne and all these characters, but. You just gotta applaud her, man.
You do. And that's the funny thing, though. Even when she did that and everything, Cheyenne, and I knew she would even not be, like, mad at her. If anything, it just makes Cheyenne, like, think she's cool. Because she's like, oh, my God, you know, you are so savage. I, like, love you right now.
Yeah.
Because she's so young and she just has that.
She appreciates it, right?
She appreciates
what she went through to get what she got. And she's, like, she's, you know, applauding that.
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, you're a genius, pretty much. And oh yeah, and then Carol, when she's leaving. I don't know if I could say that on here, but I really want to. But, you know, that was great.
Not only that, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I never would have pictured Cheyenne as a vapor.
Oh. Well,
did she mention it in there?
She had a vape pen. She had one in her hand when her and Carol were talking in the back at some point.
Really?
Mm.
I didn't notice that.
Because Carol had one in her hand, too.
Well, because, we know Carol vapes. I don't know. Maybe she was just using Carol's. You think? Like, they were sharing it during COVID times.
I would hope not.
I know, but it's Cheyenne, so. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and as Sandra said, she's not very, good at the COVID safety.
Right. Yeah. It was a good plot line with Carol.
And as I'm watching it, and she tells Carol at some point, you know, when they're talking about makeup or whatever, and she tells her that she swiped the makeup from the makeup counter, and I'm just like, that's it. You just did yourself in.
Right, because even if she hadn't recorded her, she told her that, though, you know. But again, it's Cheyenne. She's not the brightest bulb.
Well, that's what's so brilliant about Carol. She finds out about this whole raise thing, right? And she just kind of plays off of that. You know, well, that's why I'm doing this. I'm doing it for us, not just for me, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And you deserve it. She's just like building her up, you know? And then getting her to feel safe to rag on corporate and Dina, and then to give up what she's done, you know, to say things she's done. And then that is all that Carol needs at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For somebody that's always on the outs, she gets what she wants a lot, you know, by pulling these type of moves.
How are people so gullible?
I don't know. But I mean, you look around in that store, though, and you're like, yeah, okay. really, if you who would be the only people who would probably be like immune to Carol's manipulative viciousness would be like Jonah, Garrett, and maybe Dina, I guess. I mean, everyone else I could also see falling into like some sense of security with her and then have it blow up in their face.
So I'm actually really interested to see where this lawsuit with Carol goes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. Do you think it's going to be, like, end up being, you know, that big of a story that it's going to really, you know, have some bigger effects in, like, the last couple episodes? Or, like, in the finale?
No. I think that's what their plan was before they were canceled. I think that we'll see this wrap up sooner than that now because of the fact they're canceled.
Yeah.
I think Casey and I mentioned that last week, that's where we're kind of thinking. Because, you know, as a whole, this would have been a good, you know, second half of the story season, you know, if you were going to have more seasons. But you can't have this Carol thing stretching on. Yeah. I don't think to the last three or four episodes where we're trying to wrap up everybody's storyline. Yeah. I don't know. I just think that it's not that strong of a storyline to have be the finishing arc of the show. So, you know, unless if it's something that, you know, gets Amy fired and she comes back because of that.
Right.
I doubt that.
So speaking of Amy, she was a guest star in that episode, aka Sandra.
Yeah, so are we ready to move on to that?
Yeah. Okay. So we get some answers to questions that we've had for a little while now.
Oh, yes.
In this, we get the return of Eric, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Your girl Kelly is back. Yay.
Yay.
And I love her attitude this episode.
Yeah, with the, I'm just going to do my work.
Just, nope.
Nope.
Not here for it. Hey, that's great. I absolutely love that. She had some great rebound sex. She's went to Cabo with her mom. Mm-hmm. Kelly's living her life. She's happy. You go, girl. So let's before we go there, let's get this out the way. Mateo, my meter was probably like a 7 or 8 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because he was trying to get Jonah to get out of the house? Is that why? Or
just because he wanted, like, which, in all fairness, there's no guarantee that they're going to live there. I mean, it is Amy's brother.
Right.
But if he's renting it from Amy, it doesn't mean that, I mean, she probably would for her brother, but in all fairness, as much as Mateo has hated Amy, she could just as easily say no and probably rent it out to get a better rent, a rental price from
someone else. Yeah. He's selfish, Mateo.
And I'm starting to see online more and more, especially on the subreddit, there are dozens of us, dozens, who just hate Mateo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's starting to become more and more prevalent now online.
How do you feel, Casey, knowing that you are not the only one out there?
I feel validated. I feel vindicated. I feel like I've been telling you guys about this for years and people are finally starting to understand and see what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's not just me.
Yeah. Well, I definitely didn't care for him this week because of, yeah, what he was trying to do to Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you had some issues with what he said last week too, but whatever.
Yeah.
As I told Jordan last week, I think a better line for Mateo last week would have been, I see why Amy didn't want to marry you, instead of saying, I see why she left you.
Yeah.
Would have stung more.
Oh, yeah. Because I already forgot about that. But yeah, when he said that, I was like, what? And I think the, you know, the one guy who always like tags us in tweets even mentioned me and something like that. He's like, oh, if Mateo was like, right, he'd be dead. And I was like, yeah, he would be dead. but yeah.
So we find out that Jonah's still living in Amy's place, in her house. And he's still taking care of her plants.
And the tree.
And you know, I actually don't blame him for this. You know, with how everything is going with COVID, I could see why you wouldn't want to move right now.
Were you guys
also
surprised?
It's probably a lot more spacious in that house than you know, getting an apartment or something right now. And you're comfortable. He's been living there for however long already. You know, it's kind of like his, like, while he may not have owned it or anything, you know, when you call a place home and you go there every day, it becomes your home, you know, and you just want to, you know, sometimes you don't want to leave it. And I assume also it does have those memories that he's had that he's maybe clinging on to. Is it ultimately good for him to get out? Yeah, probably to actually move on. But, you know, I can see why he didn't want to move. You know, the COVID situation, you know, is really throwing things for a loop as well. So,
but this might actually be the best time for him to move into his own place because of the COVID situation. There's a lot of renters and landlords now who are having to adjust their rent prices based on the fact that there are actually people who can pay their rent, and they, it's not beneficial to them. And now they're realizing maybe in order to have a place filled and get money from it, instead of keeping it open, they now have to, it's more beneficial to renters, and renters have a little more negotiating power in some ways than previously.
I mean, it's not going to last forever, but
no, it's not going to last, but that's why this might be the actual best time to try and get in and get his own kind of place. Especially, look, so if he's renting from Amy, he's got to be doing basically enough to pay the mortgage or close to it. Yes, Amy's making a lot of money.
Well, Amy has mortgage.
But in all fairness, regardless of who I'm renting to, like, I'm not going to rent to somebody and then it's not going to at least cover the mortgage payment for whatever it is, right? So there's no way he's going to be able to afford that. And which we find out later, he's got Marcus living there with him.
Well, see, this goes into why I was asking, were you guys surprised when that came out, when he... you know, to find out that he's still living there, because again, we've speculated about this since Amy left. We're like, where the heck is Jonah living? Is he living with Garrett? Did he get an apartment? Like, where is he homeless? Where is he? And we never got a finite answer until this episode. And I just assumed that he's either living with Garrett or something. And so when he said that, I'm like, how's he even affording to live there? Like you just said,
I was shocked.
I mean,
simply because, especially after the breakup, there's no way I'd want to be in that place that much longer. Like, there'd be too much of a sense of awkwardness. And then, like, they brought up, like, you know, he was still taking care of her plants and things, and
right?
Like, and eventually we find out, yeah, he's got some repressed things going on there.
Yeah.
I did love Mateo for one bit.
Connect to your Wi-Fi network. Yeah. Open the Google Home app to reconnect to.
That was.
I did love Mateo one bit where I think he brought up, like, he even drove her to the airport. Like,
he probably did. That's what Eric said. Well, someone's.
Well, it was a very civil breakup.
I guess you could Uber, but I'm sure.
A very civil breakup.
Oh, yeah.
They were very nice and civil to each other, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We get Mateo doing everything he can to try and get Jonah out of that place, including bringing your girl Kelly back. But before that, that's when we find out that Marcus is living with Jonah. And This is where I have an issue with Jonah too, where he's like too embarrassed to say he has a roommate in Marcus.
I mean, yeah, so would I.
It's not like, and this wouldn't even be embarrassing if that's where they went. It's not like they're having a relationship or are going at it, and you know, like he needs help paying for it. He's got a roommate. It is what it is.
There were so many people, by the way, saying that on Twitter.
He's got to tell Marcus they got to hide it from everybody. Like,
well, yeah, because Marcus is like a dumpster fire of sad. I mean, it's just, I mean, yeah.
Look, in all fairness, Marcus would get his own bathroom so he can stomp on his poop in his own shower and I don't have to deal with that. But that's definitely not good guy Jonah there.
No, but it was pretty clever of him to say, you know, it's like we're spies though, you know, because of Marcus. And he's like, that is true.
He knew how to sell it to Marcus.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, okay, you know, still agreeing to hide it for a little while until he couldn't take it anymore.
Because he sees Kelly back. Mm-hmm. And I love Kelly's line, too. It was like, am I dead because I keep ending up back here?
Oh.
Maybe this is her version of the bad place.
Yeah.
And she just keeps being rebooted.
That was one of my favorite lines from the entire episode. And I was like, huh, never thought I'd say that. Like, Kelly was funny, but she was funny.
Can we just say real quick, all the people that were panicking on Twitter that this was going to get them back together.
Yeah.
You know, when it was originally announced that she was coming back.
Right.
Just relax. We're all good.
Look, that's what I was hoping for, but it just didn't come to be.
I'm so sorry, Casey, for your loss.
Oh, but I'll tell you this. There was a time a couple of days ago when it was raining here, but I find myself in this joyous mood. And while I was at work, we get like small breaks. So I took a break and I was scrolling on the subreddit and I realized why I was in such a joyous mood. And it was because of the tears of all the Samosa fans were giving me the energy I needed from this episode. And it made me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, see, and you mean like their sadness from this episode? Yeah, I didn't really have that much sadness as a big Samosa fan. I mean,
well, not the sadness, but how up in arms they were. We'll get to why in a second.
Okay, yeah. Because I wasn't, I'll tell you, I wasn't. I mean, I have been waiting for this. I, more than anything, even aside from Amy, I wanted to see Jonah get out all of that because we knew it was there, you know, and Ben did not disappoint me, so.
So before that, that's when we get Sandra dressed up as Amy, dude. Because she's out in California now.
Yeah.
And we find out Glenn has some repressed feelings in there.
I know. Now that part made me sad. That Glenn misses Amy.
Best moment of the episode for me. He goes up to Sandra later and is apologizing for what's going on. And then she's like, you want me to put the wig on again, don't you?
Yeah. And he has it right with him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think Glenn is an undercover freak. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, because you said wig, and that's when he also says to, when Jonah's in his office, he said, oh, yeah, you know, Jerusha role plays as my mother all the time, and she doesn't even need the wig.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on there that we could get into, but I don't know if we have a rating for this podcast.
I know.
We're just not going to go there.
We really need one because I need to know the barriers for my language, too. But anyway, that was such a good moment. Oh, my God.
But Kelly comes great. She comes in handy because even though she doesn't want to get involved,
she does
help Jonah get his repressed feelings out. And then he goes off on this rant.
Oh boy, he does.
Now, I will come out and say this flat out. Everything he is saying is true. Everything he is saying is valid.
But
I think there's more, and so I'm going to ask you this, Aylin, because Jordan won't be able to answer this question. When you have had a relationship that has not worked out previously, right? Now that time has passed, if you go back and look back at that relationship, are you not able to look back and be like, man, I probably should have seen the end of that relationship come?
Like, you're asking if I saw, like, in hindsight, the signs or whatever? Or the...
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you know, I mean, not to get on a full thing here of my previous relationships, but I don't actually have a whole lot of experience for really, like, I've never had a really serious relationship. thankfully. Unfortunately, no one has even let me get to that point. But... yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes. I mean, there was definitely a guy who, with his lack of communication, I should have seen that as he had no initiative to even want to, like, further, keep things going. So yes, is my answer.
I have the only two people in the world. Like, this is amazing.
Oh yeah, no, but I'm also, I can... like, kind of take a step back over time and be kind of self-aware of, like, yeah, you know, I could have seen that coming.
More often than not, when a relationship doesn't work, a lot of times, at least one person can look back and be able to say, yeah, the signs were there, and we just didn't want to see them for whatever reason, right? Mm-hmm. And when he goes through his rant, which I have some thoughts on, but I will let you have your moment here in a moment. Obviously, we don't get to see everything that's happened outside of the store. But I think maybe Jonah 5 or 10 years from now would be able to look back and see that there probably were signs that the rug he was so comfortable on, as he states, either A, maybe he was too comfortable on said rug, or B, there were signs that he should have seen that something wasn't right or something wasn't going the best way. But unfortunately, we'll never get to know that because we don't get to see there any bit of their relationship outside of the store.
Yeah, we never got domestic samosa. I never got to see Parker falling asleep and drooling on Jonah's chest, as he said.
I don't believe him on that. Not that he was falling asleep on his chest, but I don't believe he feels as strongly about Parker as he says.
Why?
Why? He took care of the kid since birth. Or since before birth.
He was literally there when he was born, before the actual father was.
I've been waiting for this, because Jonah is an admitted and known liar. He lied to his parents for years about being in medical school.
Yeah, but that's because it's your parents. And, like, he had those types of parents that would have, like, looked down on him. It's different in a relationship.
It's not. He can't be trusted. He is a liar.
That's just not true, Casey.
It is true.
No, it's not. He was a liar because he was ashamed that he did not go through business school.
Yeah.
That is why he was... It has nothing to do with him being close to Parker. He raised that child.
Yeah. This is just me. Maybe this is just me, and that is fine. I don't believe him. He is proven to be a liar.
Yeah, he's proven to be that
I can't trust what...
I think I'm asking...
Have you ever lied, Casey?
I've lied before,
then
yes.
I can't trust what you're saying right now.
So be it. That's fine.
No, I mean, I get why you're saying he's a liar in the sense of, yeah, he definitely lied to his parents for years, but that's, I mean, have we all lied to our parents? Yes, absolutely. At some point, out of fear of them being disappointed in us.
Exactly.
That's a very inherent thing as a kid, no matter how old you are. I mean, you know,
he's a grown man. He shouldn't have that feeling anymore.
No, I totally.
When they're hard on him, he's gonna do that.
He has those.
It's easier to lie than to tell the truth for him, because when it comes to his parents, because they get very involved, they get very pushy, they get all into his business, and it's not what he wants. He wants to be able to make his own path.
Then he needs to be able to stand up and tell him the truth and do it and stand on his own path.
He did.
Now, in all fairness, he shouldn't. His parents should have been able to tell there was something wrong when he said he was dating Scarlett Johansson.
Natalie Portman, but yeah.
Or Natalie Portman, rather. Yeah, correct. Like, so in all fairness, like, they should have been able to be like, I think my son is a pathological liar or whatever. Like, this is not
right. That part definitely more so than the mid school. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're just done.
To me, I can't take what he says seriously about that. It's easy for him at this time where he's going through some rough things. It's easy for him to be able to say, oh, he's my little man. I love that dude.
Whatever. Outside of the whole business school parents thing, when is another episode or plot line where he had like a really big, big lie about something though? I mean, again, we all probably, have tiny little lies every now and then in a relationship. Everyone has. I can't speak to that right now. I don't know, Jordan, do you really think he's lied about anything big in any other episodes? That
I think it's easy for him to make himself to be a victim right now and to make it seem as if...
Well, he is.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not.
I mean, yeah, like, I know
he... The relationship didn't work. It doesn't mean he's a victim. It, like, that happens in relationship except for Jordan's.
Well, the reason why he's a victim is the sense of he.
It's
because,
the sense of, yeah.
Like,
go ahead.
Like he just said, where you know he's taking care of this kid with Amy, and she doesn't want she wouldn't even mention anything was wrong. She wouldn't even mention anything was. She wouldn't talk to him about plans going forward. Would, and then when it actually came to it. She was a little bit more hesitant to it. So he's thinking, if I'm taking care of your child, if I'm helping you, if I'm living with you, if I'm raising your child with you, if I'm
100%
committed, he deserves that conversation. Yeah. And she didn't have the... So it is a victim in that
sense.
And
it is because
obviously he's the one that broke up with... he's the one that broke up with her. So he's not a victim in that sense. But he's a victim of the other sense.
He's a victim
almost being taken advantage of.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think he was being taken advantage of.
I don't think he's still clearly, as we saw with the rant, I mean, a lot of, and see, this is why this goes back to when you were asking, well, mentioning like Samosa sadness and all that with this episode. I wasn't sad by it because he needed this. He needed someone to help get this out of him. I just did not know it was ever going to be Kelly, but thank you, Kelly. But, he didn't just lose Amy. He lost his quote unquote family, and those weren't even his kids either. You know what I mean?
In all fairness, Parker's not going to remember him. So
he might, but I'm saying Jonah does though. Those memories. Yeah, Parker's not going to remember him, but
Still can if she comes back now. I mean, the whole thing changes now with how with the show being canceled.
Yeah.
There could be a better ending than what we've had. With
him. That's right, Casey. Parker might remember him if she comes back and he grows up.
Parker's gonna call Jonah daddy. Okay, that's what's gonna happen.
Here's my thought. This is just my thought. I don't want America for. I'm going full heel right now.
Are you giving an official statement?
If this were wrestling, this would be my Hulk Hogan third man bash at the beach moment.
Oh, I don't want Amy to come back.
No, I don't want her to come back at all. Not even with Jonah stuff.
I mean, you don't want her to come back in some way for the finale just to see other people?
No. I think they can end the show without her.
No, I don't, but... At least not in some little way. I mean, even if they completely disappoint me and give me nothing with Jonah, I still want her to come back somehow just to see other people.
As a famous basketball player once said, the ship be sinking. And I think, I don't know if I were her, I'd want to come back. Maybe just for the people who work there, probably. But I wouldn't be mad if she didn't come back at all. I'd actually be happier with it if she didn't come back at all.
Why would you be happier though? Like, what's the downside of her coming back?
There's no downside, but the upside would be all the samosa fans who would be so mad and angry and upset.
Yeah, that's the only
thing. Take samosa out of it though.
That's what I just said though. Even if nothing comes of it with Jonah, with her coming back, I literally just said that. Like, I would still want her somehow to be worked into that last episode.
Because I don't know if it's totally necessary. Like, she got a better position. She's moved on. Yeah, it'd be great for nostalgia purposes, but...
But there's there's unresolved stuff still with her.
I don't know, but
Outside of
Jonah, her and Glenn. Apparently Glenn's got this hang-up here.
Glenn also likes people to wear wigs when he talks to them. And he has a...
So she has to come back and wear a wig.
Like, that's... Like, outside of Jonah, there's really nothing unresolved with Amy.
I just
her relationship with Dina.
Unless it's Adam and child support or Adam and visitation.
Yeah, like, hey, there you go.
But that's it. There's really nothing to close with anybody else in
the
series.
By the way, I must say on that note, which it's kind of off topic, but I'm still, again, Adam's not the greatest, like, focused person, but I'm still trying to figure out how she got it to where she can move across the country with his kids. I mean, I guess Adam was just like, yep, sure, go ahead. You're making all the money.
All they have to do is show the court that he created YouTube videos of cooking and then moved on to other stuff.
7-hour barbecue videos.
Right. And then he moved on to other things that didn't work. And they'd be like, you know what? He's just not financially stable enough to take care of these kids.
And when she shows she has a 6-figure job, like, yeah, she hasn't a job as an executive with the company yet.
I know.
In all fairness, unless you are a horrible, horrible, horrible mom, courts tend to side
with mothers
when it comes to placing the children.
Mm-hmm.
Cheyenne might be getting close to that one by leaving her kid in the trampoline there.
Hey, trampolines are fun.
Trampolines are great, but leaving your kid zipped up in one for hours on end is a whole other story.
I mean, I would have a good time.
But yeah, like, outside of that, there's nothing left to resolve with her. There's no reason for her to come back other than Jonah. And if Jonah's moving on,
Well, we'll see how much.
Does she have to come back? No.
Yeah, and in his rant, you know. I like, you know, he's talking about the things he's taking care of. And he's like, it's Amy's problem. Amy, you take care of it. And then Eric and Mateo walk in. And I think this is the only moment of this episode that I was like, oh, okay. Because Mateo's face, for just a split second anyway, he did have an actual look of, like, concern when he saw Jonah absolutely freaking out. He was like, are you okay? And that was, you know, right before Jonah says he's going to move out.
My favorite part of this is that you can keep your keys, and then him coming back being like, well, I'm not moving out right now, honestly.
I need my keys. Ben was so good in that scene.
That was definitely a great moment right there. I wonder where he's going to go next. I wonder where Marcus is going to go next.
Maybe back in his car.
Back to the trough.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Marcus living in the bowels of the store.
I mean, it just kind of makes sense.
is there anything else to talk about for this one? Or?
Do you think we'll see Kelly again? Or do you think this was just a one-off?
I think this was it.
Also, they brought her back for the finale as like a send-off for all the characters. I don't know.
I did like how they used her in this episode because As annoying as Mateo was with literally thinking he could just bring Kelly in and be like, hey, you guys dated and lived together. You should live together now. She definitely had, like, some of my favorite lines and just her complete and utter disdain the entire time was great. Even when...
For being in that story.
Yeah, like, and I love the moment where Jonah finally starts to, like, let everything out. And she actually says, oh boy, it's coming out on the day I'm here. Yay. So yes, that's my closing statement, that I really enjoyed Kelly in this episode.
Welcome to the dark side.
Hell has frozen over.
Actually, funny thing, there is a hell that freezes over every year. It is located, I believe, in Norway. There's a town called Hell, a village in Norway that is located, it's in the western part of the country, and it's pretty far up north, so it freezes over on a regular basis. So you can always use that when someone says, when hell freezes over, I'll do this. But technically, now you have to do it, because there is one that does.
And that is a fun trivia for the day. I did not know that.
Golden Vest.
Mm-hmm. Kelly.
Yeah, I think I might have to say Kelly.
She had great lines, and she helped Jonah release his pent-up frustrations and things.
And I think for old time's sake, I'm going to say Kelly as well. Yeah. Clean sweep.
Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened in a while.
But, I don't know, probably since the last time Saeed said something, actually.
Yeah.
Ratings, because they're really not important anymore, but let's just go over it because I saw people complaining online.
Like me.
Like, no, not just you, actually. You were more level-headed than some of the people I saw.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but yeah.
It was a 0.4 in the demographic and a 2.05 viewers a million. Actually, not the lowest episode of the series.
Oh, that's weird. Somebody, I thought... said it was. I guess they were mistaken.
They're incorrect. And now, if they're talking about a mix of the point of the rating share with the viewers a millions, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But in season 4, we had which one was it here? I have it right here. Employee Appreciation Day, which aired right after Sandra's fight, and the Employee Appreciation Day had a 1.95 viewers a million.
That's the finale.
But it did have a 0.6 rating. So the rating in the 18 to 49 demographic was lower this time, but the viewers of millions were higher this time. So I'm not sure, you know, it's had 0.4 before, and that was last week as well. So it's not like it went down to 0.3 or 0.2, but ultimately doesn't matter.
But this is still like without those, you know, added in streaming numbers, right? Yeah.
Yep, this is without the streaming numbers.
Because no one watches live TV. Hardly.
Very rarely now.
I'm like the only weirdo.
So on February 4th, we have a new episode at 8:30 called Ground Rules. And some people may have already seen this one. So you want to avoid spoilers if you can. Because this was accidentally put on, I know for sure, Peacock. Casey said Hulu may have posted it, too.
Oh.
Last week, somebody went to try to watch last week's episode, and they ended up watching Ground Rules instead. Yes, they had accidentally posted the wrong one. And they described this exact plot line, but without spoilers. So here it is. Jonah finds himself in trouble with Sandra and Glenn when her son Tony starts working at Cloud Nine. Mateo tries to help Cheyenne be a better floor supervisor. Garrett is unwittingly thrust in the middle of Dina's relationship with Brian the Vet.
I like how his name is Brian the Vet.
So on the subreddit, someone was like, the thing I was looking at, someone said like, hey, I was watching it. Like they're like a lot of us where maybe the first time if we watch it, maybe there's a lot of stuff going on and we just look for the bigger plot points and then we'll watch it the second time later, you know, on demand. just to, you know, maybe catch some of the more finer details. And someone was like, I remember this. And they were talking about Jonah working with Tony, the grown-ass man-child of Sandra and things. And they were like, dude, that episode hasn't aired yet.
That's weird.
Yeah, I think for sure they said Peacock, but I think she was saying she was watching on Hulu, but it got posted a couple weeks early, and then it got pulled down, but not after some people had already were able to view it. So,
yeah, because and it was just on Peacock, I guess too. Because I mean, I didn't see that on Hulu because that's how I watch it afterwards.
I watch mine on Hulu as well, but it could be maybe if you get it at certain times. Like, I know even for a while, there were times where I could go on at midnight on Thursday going into Friday morning, and the episode would be up, and sometimes it wasn't. So, you know, there's some tricky things with some of those online things sometimes, I guess. But, or maybe they found a wormhole and were time traveling, you know, and we don't know. You know, Stephen Hawking did try and have a party for time travelers, but nobody showed up one time because his whole thing was trying to prove they didn't exist. So he had a party, but he didn't tell anybody. The time and place was not revealed until after the party had happened, just to see if anybody showed up, but nobody did. So
it makes sense. But what if then you can go back in time, but you can't change the past or something, you know? So at that point, they already know nobody showed up, and then they got stopped from trying to get there. You know, it could be one of those, it's always whatever happened type of time travel.
I think you guys have been watching a lot of WandaVision.
Or it could be.
We're trying to break down Superstore in the WandaVision fashion.
I'm like, what is happening?
If the timeline breaks off into parallel universes, maybe in this universe, nobody showed up to the party, but in parallel universes, they did.
You know, I have to agree now. Maybe in a parallel Superstore universe, Casey would be in love with Samosa and not have so much hate in his heart for them.
Look, it's not that I have hate in my heart.
Oh, you do. You just...
I don't. But the simple fact that other people have so much anger and hate in them. I'm like the Emperor. Let the hate flow through you. It powers me. The fact that there's people so invested in this.
Yeah, that just means you like to wallow in other people's misery.
At times, it's great. It's great to wallow. Not always. There's a certain time and place for it. Like, I can do it here.
Like now.
Because I can do it here and in this time. Because it's not a serious thing. I would never wallow in anybody's serious misery. Right? Let me make that perfectly clear. Like I understand serious issues, and I would never do that. But if people are going to get up in arms about a television show, and then I'll be the bad guy.
You'll be the villain. Yeah. Yeah. So time travel for your early morning podcast today.
All right. So I have seen the preview. I saw the preview that we were tagged in, so I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But Garrett's got a very, very interesting conundrum on his hands here.
Mm-hmm.
Not something everybody would be able to do, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna. Yeah, that's gonna be a interesting reaction. Probably not what he's going to want, but, you know.
It probably isn't, but like I said, I just wonder if what's going to come from that fallout, because that's not, like I said, that's not something everybody can deal with.
No, not what most people are going to go for, but it's Dina, so...
I can see Dina being up for that though.
Right. Yeah.
What were the other ones?
Other.
Tony is going to work at the store with, and Jonah gets in some trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but he does.
Probably because Tony's still technically a child, but he looks like a 42-year-old man.
He does not look 42.
He looks like he's in his mid-20s.
Like 22.
Yeah. He needs to cut his hair. He would probably look so different if he cut his hair.
The dude's 6'4", 250 pounds.
Looks yeah, like Sandra probably kept him in at night.
It's like those shows when you always see, like, I've been watching a lot of Smallville recently with Tom Welling as Clark Kent as a 15-year-old, and he was 25 when he was filming that.
How the heck did they make that work?
He's tall, too. He's super huge.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man. And then, so Mateo is going to help Cheyenne become a better floor supervisor.
Well, that is not going to go well.
Better in what sense, right? We've seen how Mateo thinks some of the stuff is better. I'm thinking it's going to be worse.
We've seen him try and throw everybody on a shift in the freezer.
Yeah.
We've seen him get a little bit of executive decision power, which he shouldn't have been granted in the first place, and try and fire people and go absolutely ballistic in the store. I hate Mateo already for next week.
You should already put your meter out of like a 5 or 6 right now, and then when the episode airs,
it's already at an 11.
Just see what happens.
Honestly, it probably starts at a 5 or 6, and then it just goes up or down depending on what he does during an episode.
Yeah, so it's never down to 0.
Well, no, it will go down to 0, but he has to earn that. Like,
the last time it started at 0 was episode 1 of the show. Yeah, okay,
the pilot.
It's always starting at 5.
And then when he told Jonah right off the bat, like, you're my competition, I don't want to talk to you. That's when he kind of just ruined it from there, forever since then.
Yeah, you knew right there in that moment that he was going to be your love-to-hate character.
Well, no, we talked about this before you came on the show. We were doing a rewatch in between seasons of, like, the early episodes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I always had, like, a dislike for Mateo, and I couldn't figure out why. And then once we watched that, I was like, this is where it started. Like, this explains it. And I think even DJ and Jordan were like, yeah, I can kind of understand now. And, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's just so competitive and just so petty about things.
Yeah,
he's a very different character in the beginning. I almost say he's more annoying in the beginning because of just...
Yeah,
he's trying to be an overachiever. Now he's more of like a slacker, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, and more of a like...
Gossip.
Yeah. So...
Definitely a slacker. And I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, but for someone who's not an American citizen, he sure has the American way about him with the slacking and things.
But
he's you know who would really love roasting Mateo is the principal from Back to the Future. He would love to just slap him on the head and call him a slacker.
But you know, it just goes to show you though that Nico, who was like so, you know, funny and nice in interviews, he's so good at playing him, you know, and being quippy and snarky and all of those qualities that we were just discussing. He's
a fantastic actor. I mean
he does Mateo to a T with all of that and makes you love to hate him. So
and yeah, that's the thing. I know I've said this before, but you know, my hate is just for the character of Mateo,
right?
Not for the actor of Nico Santos. Like,
yeah,
he's Nico's fantastic, but just the character of Mateo, and like I said, especially if you go on the subreddit, that's starting to pop up more and more. Mm-hmm. Especially now, is like, I think it's on Netflix in Canada and like the UK or something.
Yes, I was going to say that earlier. Thank you, I forgot.
People are discovering the show
right as it's
a lot more, and it's you know, especially now they're able to binge it. And people have gone through the same thing. Like, oh, he wasn't as bad of a character as first, but now I can't stand him. Or he's just so mean, and he's brought Cheyenne down with him, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you're experiencing all these things, and I feel validated.
That might explain why we had a lot of people reaching out about our episodes, honestly. And why people are listening to some of our first ones a lot recently. We've had a huge increase of first few episodes as well from like season three. So that might be part of it. We also had people looking for the Olympic episode. I had to send them the link because of it. We did that one out of order.
The random episode that exists.
Yeah, yeah. And they were also looking for like cereal bar. And now it makes sense because these are all people that are probably finding the show.
That really is the most random episode, that Olympic episode.
Yeah,
it's really funny. But it's really great. It's just in a weird spot.
I still occasionally see people who, you know, tweet about that. They're like, wait, Cheyenne already had the baby. And I'm like, oh, here's another one.
Yeah. It's on the subreddit, too. It's like, wait a minute, where does it fall? Because she had the baby, but then at the start of season two, she's still pregnant in the Olympic episode, and it's like...
Well, what I wish they had done is that even though it aired on TV post-finale, because it was the Olympics that year, when they put it, though, on, like, IMDb or all the, you know, things, and then when they also put it on Hulu and the streaming stuff, they should have actually maybe put the episode in within the end of season one. You know what I mean? Like placement wise, even though it didn't air live then, but because people get so confused by it.
Yeah.
That's water under the bridge. Yeah. But that's exciting that more people are finding it now.
Yeah, we've had like 70 listens on the first episode since we moved everything over to Anchor, which was, just a few months ago, really. So that's pretty big.
Even Lauren Ash was commented on Twitter that, you know, it's come full circle. She's happy that people are discovering it, but it's, you know, it's right, unfortunately, when the show is ending.
Which at least it's when it's still airing a bit. Like The Office was already big when it was airing, but it became like huge culturally like 5 years after the show ended for some reason. So it is nice that this is starting to get a little recognition while it's still on for the last few weeks.
And you know what? To anybody who's listening to this out there from Canada and or Australia or Europe or anything, we would definitely love to hear from you guys too. Your thoughts on some of these things.
Yeah, it looks like we have listeners from Australia, Canada, Austria, the UK, Germany, France, New Zealand, India, Japan, Spain, Iceland, the Netherlands, Brazil, Puerto Rico, Ireland, Norway, Barbados, Finland, and Sweden. So
did you just have that list randomly?
I do have it right here. It shows me where everybody's listening from.
I had no knowledge of that list before those words came out of my mouth.
I was gonna say I was like what is happening.
Thank you to our listeners in Victoria, Australia, by the way. They're 76% of our Australian makeup. There you go.
Oh, hey.
Like I would really love to hear what some of our international listeners think, not only of the show but of our thoughts on the show and probably how much they hate some of the stuff I say.
if you need any Americanisms explained as well, just let us know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I thought you were going to say, Casey, but you said that instead.
If there's anything that I bring up during my ramblings that you don't understand, reach out to us and let us know. We will definitely do our best to try and explain it.
When we're knee deep over here in Walmart conversations and, you know, other things, and you're just thinking, just please, you know, ask away.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And we appreciate you being here.
The break room is worldwide.
Yes.
And on that note.
Oh, yeah. So you can follow us on Twitter at TBR Podcast, Instagram at TBR Podcast, Facebook.com/Breakroom Superstore, email us at thebreakroomss@gmail.com, and let us know. And like we've been doing every week as well, Casey and I are breaking down WandaVision on our Marvel the Marvel podcast that we have. We put the first two episodes up on our feed. Had some good responses there. But you can follow along that at 2 Infinity Saga, T-O Infinity Saga, on Twitter, facebook.com/InfinitySagaBeyond. And we're going to be talking about that awesome episode 4 of WandaVision.
And I have said this before, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure what episode, what I've said it on. I'm not watching a lot of TV just because my job dictates that I don't get a lot of time. But WandaVision may be the best thing on television right now.
Agreed.
I do not know. I do not have Disney Plus, but I will have to listen to your podcast anyway.
You said you have Verizon, right?
Yeah.
Get with them. You can get it for free with Verizon, depending on your plan.
Yeah, I might have to look into that. That's literally all I see on my Twitter timeline feed is WandaVision.
Welcome.
No, it's not just you guys. I mean, it's not, though. Like, it's so many other people. So perhaps with this one thing, I will have to actually watch it. There are so many, you know, hot things people watch that I never watch, mostly because I'm like, But anyway.
You like the smaller shows, like Zoe's.
Yeah, I like the underdogs. Yeah, I do. Yeah, and also on NBC, shout out. If you do not watch Zoe's Playlist and you like music, you need to watch it. Anyway.
All right, well, that about wraps us up. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this long-winded episode that we just did. We will catch you all next week where we break down episode 8 of the season. And have a great rest of your week.